mentioned this morning. I'm not sure I'm ever going to preach that one. But this is one I just got a few minutes before the service tonight. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. The title of the message, simply, Doing. Doing. Exodus 19, 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. It's interesting that God did not say, now therefore, if you will obey my voice, but he said, if you obey my voice indeed. In other words, if you will really do it. Oh, yeah, we'll obey your voice. There's no question there. Yes, Lord, we'll obey your voice. If you just say it, we'll do it. You can count on us, Lord. Yes, amen. We make a covenant with you. You know, that's easy to say, isn't it? But he said, if you will obey it indeed, if indeed and in fact you will actually do it, then, on that basis, then you will be a peculiar treasure above all others on the face of the earth. If God can just find somebody who will do what he wants them to do, he will elevate them above all the earth. He's just looking for somebody who will do what he wants them to do. Now, you would think that that shouldn't be too difficult to do what God wants you to do. But we're finding it's very difficult, don't we? Very difficult. But God is still looking for somebody that will do what he asked him to do. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a whole kingdom of mediators between God and man. You'll represent God to man. You'll represent God before man before God. You'll bind them together. You'll be a whole kingdom of Christ, whole kingdom of mediators, whole kingdom of saviors to save the world, salt of the earth, and an holy nation. You'll be a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, God told Moses. Now this was the first generation out of Egypt. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 26. Now that was at Mount Sinai. They came down with the law. And now just you find in Deuteronomy before they would go over into the land. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 26. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and live? They're referring to God speaking on Mount Sinai when it was altogether on a smoke and the fire of God was on the mountain, as it tells you earlier in the context. And he wrote, Moses wrote the word of God while up on that mountain, when the fire was on the mountain and the smoke, and they heard the voice of God. And they said, what other people have ever had the opportunity to be in such a place as this? They could point to no one in the face of the earth that ever was able to be at the foot of the mountain and have one of their own go up in the mountain before God. And look at us today. We are not waved around the mountain while our leader has gone up to the top. Except as it will, our leader Christ, the greater Moses, going up into the presence of God. Yes, we have in that sense. But we ourselves have in a very real spiritual sense, because Jesus died and rose again, we've gone to the top of the mountain, every one of us, and have been in the presence of God. And have heard him speak to us time after time. And not only speak through his word, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost through ministers, and speak to anointed testimonies and anointed songs, and had only heard him speak in tongues and interpretation, but I've heard him speak over and over again, but a still small voice in our spirits, but the Spirit of God as we pray and communicate to him in the Spirit. We have heard him speak into us directly. And when other people in the face of the earth have had opportunity, like the Spirit-filled people of God have, as we have, go thou, kneel, and hear all that the Lord our God shall say. And speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. Now, if you will go, Moses, and whatever you hear God speak, and you tell us, we will hear whatever you say God tells you, and we will do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words, which ye spake unto me, Moses said. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. That's been good. I've heard everything they said, and it's been good. We have said the same, have we not? But then God goes on and says, oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Everything that they have said has been so good. I just wish that they had a heart to do it. Isn't that kind of a pitiful statement for God to have made? I don't believe that they were lightly saying it, not meaning it. I believe like they were like Peter that said, Lord, I'll go with you to death. Lord, I will keep your commandments. Everything you want, I'll do it. I think they meant it at that moment. Just like we mean it at the moment we say it and then don't do it. Remember how many of you decided with me we were going to only say that which was right and sweet from now on? I'm not going to ask for hands. Remember we agreed on that, you know, a couple of times? You know? And you meant it, didn't you? You care to come up and give a little report? How you been doing? Now, I know these determinations have some influence. And we must keep on determining and keep on trying. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, we see the second generation. The first generation just didn't do it. Not for long. And now, Moses had gone up in Mount Nebo and died. And Joshua, born in the wilderness, now ready to take them over, the new generation, second generation, into the Canaan land. Chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I have said unto Moses. Verse 5. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so shall I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That's the same promise he gives us. As I was with them in days gone by, I will be with you. No one will be able to stand in front of you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto the fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Don't you vary the slightest bit. You keep right on, that thou mayest prosper wherever thou goest. If you keep right under my words, you're going to prosper, and God will be with you. Don't you get off to the side, because you won't prosper. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. I'll put my word in your mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Be always in my word. Fill your mind for the doctrines of God and my commandments, that thou mayest observe to do. Notice that again, do. Now, he's not saying believing all this time. That is believe, but do according to all that is written therein. He said, well, we feel so good because we keep most of it. He said, all of it. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, it's interesting that God not only told them to do these things, but some of the commandments he gave, and you have to do all my commandments. All right, Lord, whatever you say. But you know what some of the commandments were? Be thou strong. Oh, I thought he was going to just say, don't kill your neighbor, and don't steal from your neighbor, and don't do some things, and all I have to do is just not do them. But he says to do some things. You know, so many of us feel pretty good if we don't do anything wrong, even if we don't do anything right. This is not a thou shalt not do these things only, but thou shalt do. Thou shalt receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon me, on you, and you shall be witnesses. Well, I thank God for the power, but I can't witness. Well, I don't steal. You know, I don't lie, you know, very much, you know, and when you have to, you know. No. But you can't expect me to go out and witness. I mean, you know, that would be too much to expect of me. See, we seem to think we have an option. He said, now the commandment is you be strong. But I'm weak. He says, I know it. That's why I said be strong. I can't witness. I'm weak. Have you ever heard that? I'm too scared. But God gave you a commandment not to be scared. He said, don't fail. All grown. You mean he's even going to tell you whether you can fail or not? That's exactly right. What does that fail? Is that fair to tell us scaredy cats that we're not supposed to fail? It's reasonable. Because God said, now look. If I am for you, who can be against you? And if I'm going to go out and I promise you that I don't lie and I will be your strength, you have no business to be scared. If you can't believe God, you shouldn't believe anything or anybody in the face of the earth. He said, you've got no business to be scared. You be strong. You have an obligation to be strong. You have an obligation to do what's necessary in spiritual exercise to be strong. And not only be strong, but be thou very courageous. Be full of courage. Well, Lord, even when I have to walk up against men with swords, that's right. Because you're not the field of sword, you're the field of God. Because God is able to make one chase a thousand. But the sword, God says, don't look to circumstances. Oh, well, that sounds good, you know, in theology class, but when you mean sword-type circumstances, you know, see, circumstances are circumstances, financial, whether you're lying on a deathbed, whether it's a sword, or whether it's a lion or a mad dog, you know, a lot of people have got faith that if a lion comes against them, they'll be protected, but if a dog comes against them, they're scared to death. Because they don't ever expect a lion to come against them. It's easy to have faith for that which you never expect. Romans chapter 2, verse 13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. A lot of people think, because they go to church regularly and keep hearing the messages, that they're justified. He said the doers, not the hearers, but the doers. Are you doing? Are you doing what's being preached from week to week? Are you doing what God is telling us? See, well, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody's weak in something. Well, I know that. That's not what I'm meaning. I'm not meaning do you make no mistakes. Moses made some mistakes, and so did David, and so did Abraham. But the point is, are you doing, are you integrating the message in becoming and doing in spite of your mistakes along the way, or are you sitting there not doing and not becoming? That's the question. James 1:22. In other words, if we're ever going to do what God says to do, we've got to begin doing, and not just talking about it. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know, there are so many people that go to church regularly and talk about the power of God and the grace of God and the love of God and the mercy of God and the witness of God and all the rest so much that they've deceived themselves and thinking that they're doing it and everything's fine because they talk about it so much. They come together, they all talk about it and sing about it, and they fancy that everything is fine because they keep talking about it and singing about it and testifying about it, and they never do it, and they've been deceived. And that's what he said. It's easy to be deceived. You hear it, believe it, say, oh, that's wonderful, go home and everything feels fine because you've heard it. That only makes you more obligated to do it. 1 John 2:17. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom, but he that doeth the will of my Father. There'll be many that say, Lord, Lord, but Lord. You say, I don't know you. Oh, but Lord! You know, that's going to be a fearful day. That's going to be something. But everybody who thinks they're going to heaven, you know how everybody thinks they're going to heaven? Everybody out there, you know, thinks they're going to heaven. And I'm talking about those who call them Lord. I'm talking about those who are going to churches, calling them Lord. They're going to be so shocked to find out that they're in no shape to enter the kingdom of God someday. We're all on telling each other, well, God doesn't care what church you go to and anything, you know. They all just feel so good, you know, just the fact they go to church, you know, and they mentally believe in the Bible. But Jesus said, my word shall judge you in the last day. But we've been listening to your word. He says, I know it. It's going to judge you. Every word is going to judge you. The more you know, the more you're obligated to do. And it's just kind of obligated. Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I command you? Why do you call me master if you're not going to be my servant? Judas heard enough of the truth of Jesus Christ during the 3.5 years ministry to be saved. But he was lost. He heard enough. He heard wonderful things from the mouth of Jesus himself. And he was lost. You can sit in a mighty revival and be lost. You can sit with the glory of God, everybody doing wonderful things, and you can be lost. You can end up just like Judas after having heard it all. Demas heard enough of the gospel and the power of God and seen enough of the glory and power of the Holy Ghost through Paul's preaching and ministry. You can be sure of that. He saw enough power of God certainly to carry him to the gates of glory. But he loved this present world more and lost his soul. Israel put enough of the truth of God to save him forever. But God cast him off and wrote a bill of divorcement against them. Now, why is it that some people heal and some don't? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Why is it? Now, here's all these people on the face of the earth. Some decide to listen to God and obey, and some decide not to. Have you ever asked yourself, well, how come that some people decide not to? And why do some people decide to? I mean, what am I going to do? Supposing I'm one that decides not to. Supposing I decide not to. I mean, is this all deciding? Is this deciding? That's it? For heaven or hell? Why will some people be preached at and some of them love God and they're sitting out in the pews, some of them. They're sitting right there, some of them right here tonight. And they love God, but they decide not to obey. Even if they love God, they want to obey, but they decide not to. It depends on the type of soil that the seed is cast into as to how the seed fares. Well, you mean that we just happen to be created different types of soil, and if you happen to be a good soil, then you kind of luck out? No, it's not that at all. The type of soil you are depends on you and whether you've allowed God to take the rocks out and the thorns, whether you've allowed him to plow up your heart or not. See? Now, it isn't the fact that we want to serve God that makes us serve God, and don't want to that makes us not, because many who want to don't. Israel wanted to and didn't. They wanted to. Even expected to. It's not whether you want to or not that makes the difference. It's whether you have the right kind of soil that will sustain it. Because today you will want to, but will you want to 6 months from now and 2 years from now? You know, there are many people here, our friends, we know who they are, they've backslidden. And they wanted to serve God, and did for a while. But as Jesus said, the depth of soil was shallow because there was a rock on it, and the roots couldn't really go down, and when the heat came and withered. They stood as long as the glory of the Lord was here, but when the devil started coming against them to test them, and God allowed them, they withered. They couldn't stand it. What value is it to heal the truths? Why come out to church like this and hear it if you're not going to do it? What good is it to take food into your body if you're not going to digest it? Oh, I take food, but if you don't digest it, it won't do you any good. If it just goes right through your system or you spit it back out, it won't do you any good. There was a man in this assembly, I don't know if he said tonight or not, and I got a letter from, got a call from the dean of students, and he says, I feel that we should drop this particular student, the way he's been living. Now, this individual, you know, he came to the Lord and went back, and he came and he went back, and then he went, and then he stayed back, and he came and went back. And somebody mentioned that tonight, something about this. It brought that to mind, this person and several others. And God take him back again, but after a while, they can hardly make it anymore. And after a while, they just quit. You know names? Can you think of people like that? I can in this assembly. Now, it's just getting so difficult for them. And now one person's been back 2-3 times. He's back now, but nothing's happening. Nothing's happening anymore. Like it was Chrissy that was saying, you know, the Spirit won't always draw you. And now there just doesn't seem to be the drawing. He's sitting there, but nothing's happening. He was in the service this morning. There's a good anointing this morning. The Holy Ghost was there, but nothing was happening. Do you know it's dangerous just to think you can sit in and out the door whenever you want to like that? I watched one man, every time he came back, it was harder than the time before, until finally, he just couldn't make it anymore at all, and he's gone. The enormity of the lake of fire forever and ever. It staggers my mind. It just staggers me. You are going to have to come in confrontation as to what kind of soil you have. And if your soil isn't good, I don't care how much you will say, like Peter, Lord, I'll never deny you. If your soil isn't right, you'll deny him. It didn't make any difference how much you might be the treasure of the church, like Judas was, and held the money back and end up hanging yourself. You might say, like Israel of old, I'll do whatever you ask, Lord, and bleach your bones in the wilderness. It depends on the soil. And you determine the type of soil, but how you enter in and do business with God, how you ask God to forgive you and make decisions and wait before God and supplicate and pray and move in and get rid of those rocks and make decisions. And if you don't, you leave them there. If you leave all the thorns and rocks and just keep praying for your wheat field, pretty soon it'll be choked to death and die. All the time you're praying, it'll choke itself and die because you're not getting rid of the weeds. It isn't prayer. It isn't prayer by itself. Prayer is supposed to bring you to a state where you'll do something, so God will do something. You see, much of prayer is for man, not God. Jesus said, be much in prayer. Pray always. And yet he said that we don't have to be constantly praying all long prayers like the heathen, for your heavenly Father knows your needs. And how do you square those two away? The long prayers are for you. The short ones are for him. When you're in the right place, all you have to say is, Lord, I need this, please. Thank you, Lord. That's all you need. Your prayers are that short if you're in the right state. These long prayers just to get you in shape. It's not to get God ready. He's always ready. Hereby do we know him if we keep his commandments, the scripture says. If you're keeping his commandments, you're knowing him. There's an interaction between him and you. See? Jesus said about some, hearing they hear not. Hearing they hear not. In other words, you've got to hear with the heart. Everybody says, oh, I'm hearing, I'm listening. But you're not listening unless you're listening with the heart, which means that you begin doing. See, begin doing. Let's look at 1 Samuel 15:22. It won't be too much longer. Here it is. Maybe I'll save you time. I'll just read it right here. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Now, here Saul was on the plain of Michmash, and the Philistines were on the hills about him. And Samuel said, I'll come to you in 7 days. And here they could attack any moment, and they were down here on the defenseless plain. And Saul, King Saul, said, I don't dare put my armies into array without first having a sacrifice before the Lord and committing it to him, because if we go out to battle, we're going to have the Lord on our side, and we must have the sacrifice before we go out. And he kept waiting, and Samuel hadn't come. And here was the 7th day, and he still hadn't come. I mean, the rapture hadn't come yet, you know. So about throwing the doctrine overboard. And so on the 7th day, he decided he'd better do the job of a priest. And he just got through doing it, and he'll come walking in Samuel on the 7th day, like he said. Now, see, Saul said, well, I had to sacrifice. And Samuel reminded him and said, now, is it better to sacrifice or to obey the voice of God? In other words, what good does it do you to do all these sacrifices unto God if you don't obey him? Now, how does that relate to us? We have our worship service. It's a New Testament worship service. It doesn't offer sacrifice of lambs, but sacrificing ourselves on the altar. Living sacrifice. We have our services, and we move by the Spirit, and so forth and so forth. But what good does it do us to get up here and testify and sing in certain ways and do certain things and go through all the things we're supposed to do and clap our hands and all the rest if we don't obey God? Does he rather have sacrifice, clapping hands, all the other things, or obedience? So that's what he's saying. If you don't obey me, and we can be so satisfied with going through the rituals whether we obey or not. You know? Like many, you know, a lot of people are like Pentecostal Catholics. You know, the Catholics, you know, that do a sin and don't worry about it. We take care of it at the next confession. But just take care of it. There's nothing in the heart that really concerned. Until we think that if we just do the usual things we're supposed to do, we'll be all right. But God says if we don't do it, then what? Paul said, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." Now, it meant leaving my countrymen, my life, my occupation, every single thing. My whole nation would turn against me, and great persecution. But when God gave me a vision and told me what to do, I was not disobedient to it. Are you disobedient tonight to the heavenly vision that God has given you? Is the question. Now, the most important thing at this juncture is not to hear a lot more doctrines. Well, I wonder what they're going to bring next week. I wonder what they're going to be bringing in Bible camp and Holy Ghost camp meeting. I wonder what all those good sermons are going to be like we're so anxious to take notes on and listen to. It isn't to keep listening to more and more and more and more and more. The most important thing is to bring our life we've already heard enough to be out-translated like Enoch, about six times over. The most important thing now is to bring our life into conformity with what we already know. It isn't lack of knowledge anymore for most of us. Well, how do you bring your life, I'm in conclusion now, how do you bring your life into harmony with what you've already heard? Well, we know one thing. It's not going to be through all of our self-effort. We tried that. It's going to be through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. Well, how is it going to be done? Through the Spirit and by the Spirit. It's going to be done by us walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Habitually walking in the Spirit, so we shall know why to fulfill the strong cravings of the lower nature. Now, how are we going to be able to be continually walking in the Spirit? By punctilial, by coming down and waiting upon God, making decisions in our heart and giving ourselves unto Him and waiting before Him until He takes us into the Spirit. He said, well, I did that, and a week later, I fell completely. I know. So we do that on Monday or Sunday, and then we do that on Monday, and then we do that on Tuesday, and then we do that on Wednesday. We keep there instead of waiting until instead of coasting to the bottom of the hill and have to climb all the way back up again. And then go, woo, blessing. Well, ooh, that was wonderful, see? And then from the bottom of the hill, we've come so far down, we have to go all the way back up. You stay at the top of the hill. Stay right up there. Then you're walking in the Spirit. Now, I don't mean that you're spending all your time with your eyes shut, going on this way. God does not, habitually walking in the Spirit does not mean with closed eyes just saying thank you Jesus and speaking in tongues. Walking in the Spirit means letting the Spirit of God order your life. And so you're going about your daily duties, and there's some daily duties you have to do, and you have to work down at the pottery shop. But while you're working in the pottery shop, your heart is in heaven. And your head is in heaven too. And there's rejoicing in your soul, and you're doing the things that are right. You see, we've got to decide, we've got to dedicate, we've got to supplicate, and we've got to believe. Now, why is doing so important? Why can't I just believe? Why can't we just believe? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be saved. But that believing means a heart believing that ends up in a doing of repentance and a walk. We should be partakers of the heavenly calling if we hold our confidence steadfast until the end. Whereby we grow into salvation daily. Why is doing so important? Because doing is your heart, what your heart is, plus believing. In other words, it is your heart, that's your will, it's your will plus active faith. That's what believing is, active faith. It's your will exercise in active faith. That's doing. That's why doing is so important, because doing proves your faith. So why can't we just believe? You can. But doing proves it. Show me your works without your faith, Well, then, ma'am, I'll show you prove my works by my faith, see? By my faith. Faith, works made manifest by your faith. For faith without works is dead. It's dead faith. We have to convert into living faith. See, faith is a mental assent. That's dead faith. Oh, I believe God is going to have. I believe in hell. I believe in heaven. I believe in the word of God. But everything is said. But it's dead faith until you act upon it. And then it becomes active faith. And active faith is active. That means doing. So we can sit with passive faith. That's dead faith. Oh, I believe everything. But doing is putting that faith in action and making a living faith. For faith without works is dead, being alone. Faith will always produce it, works. If you believe this building's on fire, if it's living faith, it's going to produce works, feet in action, headed for the door, faith. And if you believe that this whole world is going to be on fire one of these days, there'll be active faith that sets your feet in motion, headed for the door. Intellectually, you can believe it, but it's dead until you make it alive. And so if we'll do what God wants us to do, he'll bless us above all the people in the face of the whole earth. Is it worth it? Well, it's all that these people will have a heart to do what they say they will do. Well, now, it depends on the ground. And so we've got to do it more than be determined. We have to put ourselves in a place that our determination will stay and that we're strengthened and that we can handle the seed. This means, in closing, I'll give you one example. There's a young man in this church that was determined to follow God. He's a very dogmatic, determined person. And he was doing some things wrong against the principles of God. And I reminded him of it. And I said, you will, if you go to do that, you're going to lose out. He says, no, I won't. I'm going to go with, I never give up Jesus. He is so determined. I said, you're not going to do that. He said he was. And he was positive. And he went out and he fell. And he came back. And I reminded him. And this happened time after time. And after a while, I was talking to him again this way. And he said, you're psychic. He knew he was going to follow God, and every time he didn't, and I was always right. And I said, no, I'm not psychic. It's just that I know the principles. You thought you were going to stand because you were determined. But I know a person does not stand by his determination. He stands by the principles, by how he walks, the position he's in. Because what you didn't know, I told him, was the fact that your determination this month was not going to be as strong as this month, and the following month was going to get less, and you were in a place that I knew your determination was going to drop down, 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 down until you dropped. Therefore, I knew you wouldn't make it. So you see, the fact you're determined has nothing to do with it. It's whether what's the ground like. What kind of position have you put yourself in? What kind of dedication have you made? What decisions have you made in your life? What is your willingness? Now, if this is squeezing somebody's shoes, I am sure. Your toes, I mean, within your shoes. But the messages are no good if they don't accomplish something. If they don't bring us to something. So we're going to close tonight. And I hope this brings you to the altar, to decisions in God like never before. Because if you do, then next week or the week after, whatever it is really, next week after, is really going to have a Holy Ghost camp meeting. See, Holy Ghost camp meetings don't come because we decide to have a Holy Ghost camp meeting. We're determined to have one. They come because of the metal of our hearts, or the situation, the ground of our hearts, where we are, and what we're doing between now and then, and where we are. That will produce Holy Ghost camp meeting. Well, that same thing will produce Holy Ghost saints. The same thing will produce saints in heaven. The same thing will produce gifts and power of God in overcoming. It's not a matter of running out and determining to do it like a legalist. It's a matter of recognizing the condition that's needed and beginning to wait upon God, and in wait upon God's word, his word, and making this word. See, we've got to wait upon God in his word and the Spirit. Not just Bible reading, and not just praying. But you have to find God in your prayer. And it means you have to find God in your word. I get a great deal of strength out of his word. Some people get a lot of strength out of prayer, not much out of the word. Some get a lot of the word, not much out of prayer. But it's the Spirit that takes the word and makes it to live. And so we need the Spirit to illuminate the Word. Otherwise, it's a dead letter that'll kill us. But the Spirit giveth life. And we need to know the Word and then have the Spirit to give us the will to follow the Word and have strength and know God. God bless you.